from the cross. So I know that'll be a blessing to our hearts. So John 19, beginning in verse 16, the Bible says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on the either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And said they therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with the spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw that it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. So it is finished, is our title. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd use your word now in our hearts. I pray that this message would bring honor to, Lord, what you went through for us, and that you would guide us, Lord, and meet with us now and be glorified in this time. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So verses 18 to 27 is the first 3 hours on the cross. And then verses 28 to 37 are the second 3 hours on the cross. So beginning in verse 18, the first 3 hours, of course, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ with a criminal on each side. And this in and of itself was a fulfillment of Scripture. So we're going to actually see over 10 different scriptures from the Old Testament fulfilled just in the crucifixion. It's amazing. So Isaiah 53:12, turn there quickly and we'll see this particular prophecy. Isaiah 53, verse 12, and we'll have to jump back and forth a bit tonight to see all of these scriptures that were fulfilled at Calvary. Isaiah 53, of course, the entire chapter is about Christ and his sufferings, but specifically verse 12, it says, Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. So there we see that he would be crucified with criminals. And if you, while you're in the Old Testament, go to Psalm 22 in verse 16. So Psalm 22 would be one of the five messianic psalms, probably the one with the most prophecies contained in it. And this 22:16 told us 1,000 years before Christ, how he would die. So notice Psalm 22, verse 16. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. So 1,000 years before Christ, God prophesied that he would die of crucifixion. This is before Rome was even a power, before crucifixion was even a thing. But, of course, God knows everything, even the future. So like I said, tonight we will look at the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. The first two are found in Luke chapter 23, so we need to turn there. They're not here in John. And the first is one of the most beautiful, and that is Jesus asking the Father to forgive the ones that nailed him to the cross, the ones that led him to the cross. Notice Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the first saying of Jesus on the cross was to ask the Heavenly Father to forgive the very ones who had put him on the cross. And then down at, while you're in Luke 23, down in verse 39, it's his second saying. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of the of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. How beautiful. So the second saying of Jesus from Calvary was to let the thief know that because he had just placed his faith in Jesus Christ while hanging on the cross, that he would go to paradise. And of course, the thief on the cross for 2 millennia now has been used to teach us so many great truths, that we don't have to be baptized to go to heaven, that it's just by faith alone and so forth. So we saw where Pilate then wrote the King of the Jews in three different languages to be sure that everyone could read it. And the Jews asked him to change it, and he said no. He was convinced. They weren't, but he was. And he said, what I've written, I've written. And then in verse 24 of our passage, John 19, it says, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. It's talking about his outer coat, which had no seam. Rather than cut it up into pieces, they cast lots. And then Psalm 22 again. So turn there again. Verse 18 this time. God even prophesied of this little thing, that they would actually cast lots for his garment. Notice Psalm 22, verse 18. It says, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. So that's already three Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. Now, in verse 25 of our passage, it says that these women were at the cross. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus, his third saying from the cross, was to take care of his mother. How beautiful is that? He looked down, and the only disciple that remained was John. The rest of them had fled. But he looked down and he saw the women. He saw John standing there. And he says to John, woman, behold thy son. And he says to his mother, I got it backwards, but you know what I mean. Behold thy mother to John, and behold thy son to his mother. In other words, John, please take care of my mother after I'm gone. How beautiful is that? It's so much is already about others, isn't it? First saying, forgive them. The second saying, to the thief, you'll come with me to paradise. The third saying, John, please take care of my mother. This is while he's in agony, hanging on the cross. So the fourth saying we see there in verse 28 is, I thirst. And Jesus said this because if you go to Psalm 69:21, God prophesied of this very thing. So Psalm 69:21, another one of the Messianic Psalms. And notice verse 21. It says, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." So even these little minute details were prophesied of in the Old Testament. So we've already seen 1, 2, 3, now 4 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. So that was the first 3 hours. We're in the second 3 hours now. And during the second 3 hours, if you go to Matthew 27:45, the Bible says that the sky went dark for 3 hours in the middle of the day. That's in Matthew 27:45. And then we'll also see his fifth saying. Matthew 27, look at verse 45. "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." So even though it was the middle of the day, the sky went dark for 3 hours. "And when the sky went dark," verse 46, "and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This is why the sky went dark. Because for 3 hours, the Father had to turn his back on the Son. Because he became sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he became sin for us. Psalm 22, verse 1, if you want to turn there, prophesied of these very words that Jesus would speak from the cross. This fifth saying. Psalms 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So another Old Testament prophecy fulfilled at Calvary. So, Father, forgive them. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Behold thy mother, I thirst. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then probably the most important for us is verse 30. John 19, verse 30. "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Praise God. Sin had been paid for. It is finished. The Bible says in Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and taking it out of the way and nailing it to his cross. It was done. The law was nailed to the cross. Hebrews 10:10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." This phrase, "it is finished," we could spend the rest of the night just going through scriptures that show us that it was done and that the death of Jesus Christ was sufficient to pay for the sins of the whole world, the complete efficacy of his death. "It is finished." Right after that, he said in Luke 23:46, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," which was his final saying at the end of the 3 hours of darkness. Now, if you go to Matthew 27 again, this is only recorded in Matthew, but when this all happened, when Christ said it is finished, and when he commended his spirit unto the Father at the end of the darkness, my battery's just died. James, would you help me out, please? Thanks. Only because of that thing. So Matthew 27:51, it says, "Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God." Thank you, my brother. So again, it's only in Matthew, but just to make the point that this was an amazing event. God allowed people to actually come back from the dead. Imagine that. I can't imagine it. But it happened. And then the centurion said, this was the Son of God. So not only did the sky go dark for the 3 hours when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But when this all occurred, when he said it is finished, God actually allowed some people to come back from the dead. On top, of course, the veil being rent from top to bottom. And so we see there the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. And then it says he gave up the ghost. So moving on, verse 34, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. There's this thing called hypovolemic shock, which is a real thing. When you get super high blood pressure from all of this physical stress, and it causes the heart and lungs to get surrounded by water. So that's from the medical point of view. But from a biblical point of view, 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, let's turn over there. Both the water and the blood have a lot of significance to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Notice 1 John 5, 6, this is he that came by water and blood. Now water, of course, Jesus began his ministry with baptism. And then he ended his ministry with Calvary, which was the shedding of his blood. But then we also see all through the scriptures where God compares water to the Word of God with its cleansing power. So much significance there. It's just amazing. And John wanted us to get the point in verse 35. He said, and he that saw it bear record. Remember, the one writing the gospel is the one who was standing at the cross with the women. It's the one who Jesus loved, the Apostle John. And he said, this is the record. I want you to believe. Remember, he explains over in chapter 20, verse 31. These are written that ye might believe. He wrote the gospel so that people would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's reminding us of that here. So verse 36, these things were done, that the scripture shall be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. We'll look at two scriptures on this. Exodus 12, verse 46. We'll go there first, which is the Passover in Egypt. Exodus 12, 46. And then from there, we'll go to another messianic psalm, the 34th psalm. But notice Exodus 12, 46. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. So these were the lambs that had to be slain to put the blood on the doorposts so that the death angel would pass over that house. And, of course, Jesus Christ is our Passover. Therefore, to be a complete fulfillment of the Passover, none of his bones could be broken. Why did they break the bones? I think you all know this, but usually you died in crucifixion, even though it was super painful. It was meant to last long, so that the pain would last long. But if they wanted to end it, then they would break the legs, because you typically would die of suffocation, because you had to push up with your feet. Imagine, you had to push on the nail that was through your body so that you could take a breath. And then you would rest, and then you would push up again and take a breath. So they would break the legs so that they couldn't push up. And then it was pulling them back so far that they couldn't breathe, and they would die of suffocation. The Romans had it all figured out. But when the soldier came to break Jesus' legs, he was already dead. So Psalm 34, verse 20 is the messianic prophecy of this part of the crucifixion. Psalm 34, verse 20, it says, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. So again, to be the complete fulfillment of the Passover, as we saw in Exodus 12, Jesus could not have a broken bone. And of course, he didn't. And then the last verse here, verse 37 of John, it says, and again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. That's Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. So let's turn there. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. I've lost track, but I'll try to count how many Old Testament scriptures we looked at just for the on the cross. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 scriptures fulfilled at Calvary. Old Testament scriptures. Zechariah 12, 10, and they shall look upon me whom they have, what? Pierced. Again, 400 years before Calvary, God prophesied that he would be pierced. And then while you're in Zechariah, look over in the next chapter, chapter 13, verse 6. It says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. You know, the only scars in heaven will be the scars on Jesus Christ. We get new bodies. But Christ's body, even though it is the glorified body, we read that he carries the scars of Calvary for all of eternity. Imagine that. And we get reminded every time we see Jesus that those scars were for us. And when Jesus said it is finished, that was such an all-encompassing statement from a scriptural point of view. Sin had been paid for. Death and hell had been paid for. The penalty of death and hell. And Jesus had fulfilled his mission to come and be our substitute. It is finished. So, Father, forgive them. He says to the thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He asks John to take care of his mother. He says, I thirst, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Then, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? 3 hours of darkness over the whole earth. And then it is finished, and Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. After the darkness, the graves are open, the veil is rent in twain from top to bottom. And at least 10, that was just some, but at least 10 Old Testament scriptures fulfilled just in those 6 hours of Christ being on Calvary. Aren't we so blessed that he was willing to go through that for us? And praise God, when he said it is finished, it was done. Our sins have been paid for. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you.